Let us turn in our Bibles this morning over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Here we have John, the last Testament prophet. He had the job of introducing the Savior to the world. The prophets had prophesied that the Savior would come. And the last prophet, the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist, had the duty to introduce to the world the Savior, Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." First time that we have Lamb appearing in the Bible is all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 7, first time Lamb appears in the Bible. And here we have in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Remember, Abraham was told to go and offer his son there, and when he placed him, was taking him, and they had the wood, they had everything they needed, but they didn't have the lamb to sacrifice. And if there is no lamb, Isaac is going to die. If there's no lamb, Isaac is going to die. Well, we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Here, remember Adam and Eve, it's recorded that they sinned. They partook of the forbidden fruit. They were cast out of the garden. He drove them out. And after that, he clothed them. The Bible says in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now we know if he made coats of skin, then he had to shed blood. He shed the blood of the animals, and they had to be covered. Adam and Eve could not appear before God in innocence now unless they were covered. And it took the blood to cover them. God shed blood in order for them to continue to live. They had to be covered. That's an important thing to remember, because this showed that the shed blood would be absolutely necessary to atone for man's sin. Shed blood. And if we go back to the other side of the Bible in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says here, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." You see, when God shed that blood of those animals, he knew that there would have to be the shedding of blood. He knew that even before then, before the foundation of the earth. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, God knew that the blood of the Lamb would have to be shed for the remission of sin. And that Lamb would be Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 18 to 20, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He would be the Lamb. God made it clear that it would take the blood of the Lamb to atone, to forgive, to to take away sin. If we go back to Exodus chapter 12, God continues to teach us this necessity of the shedding of blood in Exodus chapter 12. The children of Israel are about to leave Egypt. They're going to be delivered from Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, verse 3, get over here to it. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. If you study the scriptures, you know that it was the 10th day of the month that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. You can look back to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, verse 1, it's very clear to establish in the scripture that Jesus, the Lamb of God, rode into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry on the 10th day of the month, just the same day that they were to take this lamb when they were going to be delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And so we notice here in John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Now, we know the 15th from reading it back in Exodus that the Passover was on the 15th day of the month. If we go back 6 days, we come to the 9th day. And then we look down at verse 12, and it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Hosanna means, oh, save. And they picked him out on the 10th day of the month to be the Lamb. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then we also know that according to Exodus 12:6, there that the lamb was to be kept up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And we know from John chapter 19, verse 31, that Jesus was put to death on that evening of the 14th, and right at the Passover time. He fit the picture of this Passover lamb. God was teaching not only the children of Israel, but teaching us a lesson that the blood of the lamb must be shed. Now, we can just take a little parenthesis right here and just look a little bit at the evidences that we have that the time that Jesus came, when he was the Lamb of God, was born there in Bethlehem of Judea, just as it was prophesied that he would come. And we do have some clues that December 25th may well be the time of his birth. We know that it's the time of year when you have the shortest days and the longest nights. And then after the 21st of December, the days begin to get longer and the nights get shorter. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. Well, that's a good time to have the birth of the Savior, that the light of the world has come, and the day spring come to free us from the darkness. And then in John chapter 10, verse 22, we have the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And one of the first things the Maccabean army did after driving the Syrians out of the land was to cleanse and rededicate the temple. And this was the beginning of Hanukkah. which means to dedicate. It took place on the 25th of Kislev, which is our December 25th. And then we have the order of the order of the priesthood in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, and verse 10, verse 19, and then Luke chapter 1, verse 5, 23 to 33. We don't have time to look at those, but King David divided the priests into 24 groups to serve as governors of the sanctuary and of the house of God. They were scheduled by casting lots to serve certain months. The family of Abijah, or Abijah, as it says there in the New Testament, it was Abijah, was to serve the eighth course or month. Zacharias was of the course of Abijah, and that would be Heshvan, which corresponds to our mid-October or mid-November. After his service in the temple, Elizabeth conceived, and in the sixth month of her pregnancy, you remember the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she would conceive of the Holy Ghost and deliver the Christ child. Well, this announcement would be around March 31st, and would put the birth of Christ around December 25th, if you look at it that way. We have the shepherds in the field at night in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 18, John chapter 1, verse 29, that we read about, to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The ewes usually become pregnant in July, just after the summer solstice. Their gestation period is just over 5 months. This means that the lambs are born in the middle or to late December, and it explains why the shepherds would be in the fields at night in the cold winter. Bethlehem is just a few miles from Jerusalem, and the shepherds were in the same country, the Bible says, so it's possible that these lambs that were giving birth at that time were the ones used for the temple sacrifices. How fitting that would be that the Lamb of God has come at this time. And the Lamb of God would be born in a stable. That's very fitting. There was no room for him in the inn. He was born in the stable, laid in the manger. All these things point. We have these little clues that point that December 25th may well be the day of his birth. Nobody knows the exact date. Nobody knows the time. But there are some little clues that we have. Dr. Epstein, Professor Emeritus of Animal Breeding at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in Israel. He was writing on the Awasi sheep, that's the main breed in Israel, said in Iraq, the principal lambing season of Awasi ewes is in November. And in Lebanon, the Syrian Arab Republic, and Israel in December, January. And the average low in December is 41 degrees. There, that's what he said. So you have these little clues that it may well be the time we celebrate his birth, that the Lamb of God came, may well be the time we do celebrate it, at least around in that time. Some people say that Christmas is a pagan holiday, but the pagan holiday, worshiping the winter solstice and all that stuff, and all the paganism, was all over by December 23rd. So December 25th could not be a part of the pagan holiday, as some try to teach us and tell us. We have the Lamb of God who was prophesied to come. Every day of the Jewish 360-day year, 360 days in the Jewish year, every day of that year, there were animals, the lambs were sacrificed. Every day, when you study the Old Testament law, what was that a picture of? That the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. The blood of the Lamb is sufficient to pay the price for our sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But you know, there's a real lesson here. A real lesson when we begin to look at the Lamb of God and the pictures that the Bible gives us. Just like the Passover lamb had to be applied to the doorpost. If you read on there in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible tells us that they had to strike the blood when they, after they had slain this lamb, they had to strike the blood on the top of the doorpost up there on the lintel and on the two side posts. It was a picture of the cross. And if they did not strike that blood, there would be death in their house. The firstborn in every house would die, in animals and in humans. In every house, it would be death. And so they had to apply the blood. The Bible teaches us the same thing in Romans chapter 10. We must apply the blood of the Lamb to our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We are to call upon the name of the Lord to forgive us of our sin and save us. We must come to the place that we realize, as the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that every one of us are sinners, and that death is the result. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Bible makes it clear we must realize that we are a sinner. We must realize that death is coming. We must strike the blood of Christ to our hearts. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust that his shed blood has paid the price for our sin, and that we have salvation in him only. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must see Jesus Christ as your Lamb who was sacrificed in your place. If you go back to Genesis chapter 22, we want to look at this a little closer in Genesis chapter 22. Back there to Genesis chapter 22, the first time we have the Lamb appearing in Scripture. In verse 22, chapter 22, pardon me, verse 8, he says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. That place that God had told him of was Moriah, one of the mountains of Moriah. And if you look in 2 Chronicles, if you take the time to study 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, that was the place of Calvary. That was the place where Solomon built the temple. That is the place where Jesus would die. That's the place where he would die. The place he had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Notice the wood in order, picture of the cross, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. That's our place. That's our place to be on that cross ourselves. That's our place to die. That's our place. That's where we belong. But notice what happens here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And you see, that's what Jesus did for us. He went to that cross in our place. The Lamb of God was sacrificed in our place. We should be on that cross. We should die for our sin. But Jesus took our place. What a great Savior. You must see Jesus as your Lamb who was sacrificed in your place. And it's interesting, when we consider the Lamb of God, we go back to the book of Revelation chapter 5. This is going to be our scene in heaven. When we get to heaven, Revelation 4 and 5 describes our first times in heaven as we have arrived there after the rapture. And the Bible tells us in verse 1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" This book being open would bring in an end to sins. It would bring in everlasting righteousness. It would bring the tribulation period and all the judgments of God against sin, and the armies of the earth would be destroyed, and God would establish his kingdom. And notice verse 3, "No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Can't be done. "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." That says that man can do nothing. He can do nothing to forgive his own sin. "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" The Bible tells us that the true lion is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the fake lion is Satan. We won't get into that, but I want you to see here that he appears as a lion. But they say the Lion has prevailed. But look what it says in verse 6. "And I beheld," now we're looking. We hear that the Lion hath prevailed, but we look, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. God loves us. He keeps our prayers. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Well, we got rid of anything that man thinks he can do. That's going to be wiped away fast there. And he says, they sing a new song, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands," a lot of angels, "saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts say, 'Amen.' The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Well, we're going to see that the only reason we can be redeemed from our sin is the shed blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" And the tribulation period starts when the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, opens the seven-sealed book. And then down in verse 16, it says here, "And said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" He's going to come back as a lion. He came the first time as a lamb, but he'll come back as a lion. He will come back and set straight everything that has been set wrong by the devil and by man's refusal to obey God. Chapter 7, verse 14, it says here, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." These are people that were slain in the tribulation period, the second half there, the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The only way to be saved, the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Here the Bible tells us, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." These in the tribulation period who refused to take the mark of the beast, they were not saved because of their refusal. They were saved because they didn't, you know, if you take the mark, you can live in the tribulation period. Thank God we won't be there, but those people who are in the tribulation period, if they take the mark, they can live. Well, it means that they will never have eternal life. And so they love not their lives unto the death. They wouldn't take the mark. And the word of their testimony was that they believed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The only way to be saved is the blood of the Lamb. In chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "And I beheld and another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." In this 13th chapter, we see the Antichrist appearing, and we see the dragon, Satan, and then we have this lamb. You know, that's this false prophet that arises, and that's very interesting because Islam believes today that their 12th Imam will come, and he will be the savior of the world, but that Jesus Christ will appear and Jesus Christ will cause all of the world to accept Islam, to be a Muslim, to believe in their God. And boy, doesn't that look like it right here in verse 11? Prophesied right there. And they're falling right in the line of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The only way to be saved is to put your faith in the true Lamb of God, which takes sin of the world. Look in chapter 14 and verse 10. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Notice how the Bible is emphasizing when God's judgment falls upon the earth and all of the lost there in that time refused to turn to Christ. They take the mark of the beast. They're deceived by the Antichrist, and they're going to perish. And in this time, that when God's judgment is falling, it's pictured again and again, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the only way of escape from our sin. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 4, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then they have gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Again and again emphasized the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Chapter 17. And let's see, 17 and verse 14. Chapter 17, verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Chapter 19. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife is the church, hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And then thus go to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 10. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And you know, if you read it all, when he says he'll make all things new, they stay new. They never get old throughout the endless ages of eternity. Nowhere out there. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in a spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And that city has the streets of gold. It's a city of gold. And you can read about all of its beauty. The Lamb's wife. It's all because of the Lamb. If you look in verses 22 to 23 here, it says, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Notice how that when we're coming down to the last events, when we're coming down to when the Bible tells us that how God's going to bring it all to a conclusion, and how he's going to establish the new heaven, the new earth, and how all these beautiful things that we're going to have. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. That's the reason we're there. That's the reason that we have these joys. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Chapter 22. Chapter 22 here. Verses 1 through 5, and he showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Here, notice, the throne of God and of the Lamb, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Over and over and over and over, the Lamb emphasized. But I want you to notice back in chapter 21 and verse 27, it says, And there shall be in no wise, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I believe if you compare Scripture with Scripture and you go back to the book of Genesis and you come all the way through and look at the book of life, you will find in the Bible that God wrote every person's name in the book of life. Every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But when you live your life and you refuse to put your faith in Christ, then your name is taken out, blotted out of the book. And in Revelation chapter 20, when those lost of all ages stand before God, the determining factor of sending them to a devil's hell forever, a lake of fire, is that their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the question comes to us is, will your name be in the book of life? You can ensure your name to be in that book if you choose to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know it, he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him." And the Bible tells us very clearly in verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, the Bible is very clear that without the shedding of blood, Revelation 1:5 says he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And it's emphasized to us over and over in the Scripture, and especially when we get to the events of the last days. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. The only way of escape is to put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, someone says, you know, when I see some of these things that the Bible prophesies, then I'll get it settled. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, it says, even it talks about the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, some people might think, well, if I see these tribulation things, I'll know, and then I'll... No, the Bible says if you won't receive Christ now, we walk by faith, not by sight. If you won't put your faith in the shed blood of the Lamb to pay the price for your sin, you should have been on that cross. But he took your place, and you won't acknowledge that, and you won't trust him as your Savior. When that time comes, you're going to believe a lie. That's what God said. If you choose to go your own way, if you choose to trust your own work, if you refuse to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will die in your sins, and your name will not be in the Lamb's book of life. John 8:24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, washed from our sins in his own blood. Can't trust your own works. Can't trust how you live your life. Your faith must be. See, you must step off of that cross. Just like Isaac was taken off of the altar. You must step off of that cross. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And you must acknowledge that Jesus took your place. And until you do that, you can never be cleansed from your sin. And you will spend an eternity without God in a lake of fire hell that will burn forever, according to God's word. But God has made the way of escape. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to consider the Lamb of God as we look at these Christ of Christmas messages. And to realize that Jesus came, was born and went to that cross, born of the Virgin, went to the cross. God the Son died in our place. Help us to see that. And nothing else we could do to save us but to place our faith and our trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to see the truth and not be deceived by Satan into not striking the blood upon our hearts. We thank you for it. May those who are here not sure they're saved get it settled today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. And maybe you're here this morning.